High speed. It's so, you know, we're almost at 300 episodes, and you know, it's how do you start an episode? You know, some things we get better at, some things we don't, and the responsibility of beginning the episode on me is just, it's hard, and that's all I know to say this week is high speed.
I honestly forgot that was even the strap line. It's been such a wild, like, 48 hours.
Yeah, high speed, the Apple event, the iPhone 12 event on October 13th, Tuesday of this coming up week. The tagline, high, comma, speed, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. First, let's talk about Apple TV, our favorite topic on this podcast. You had a really cool story, which is what happens to the Apple TV trials after the one-year period is over with? And do they expire? Does something happen? You have the answer to that. What is the answer?
Yeah, so they were going set to expire on the October 31st, so at the end of this month. Obviously, if that's if you started the subscription on the very first day that Apple TV Plus launched, on November 1st, 2019, last year, and you bought the new Apple device, you redeemed the free year, those were set to expire at the end of this month. And it turns out that Apple is going to give everybody up to an extra 3 months. So if you had a subscription that started in November, it will now end in February. If you had a subscription that was going to end in December, it also start in February. It'll also end in February now. Basically, they're giving anyone that's on the year trial at the moment, if your end date of your subscription was before February, it now ends in February. So they're giving up to an extra 3 months to people, basically. They say they're doing this because it's the winter and everyone's locked down at home and they want to give some generosity in the Christmas season. I don't know about that. I don't know if it's all about raw generosity.
I think the holiday ad this year is actually the meeting that where they decided that.
Yeah. I mean, it is a... I haven't even thought about that. What the Christmas ad's going to be like this year?
it's all virtual, you know, FaceTime.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something crazy. Yeah. But yeah, so before we just talk about the motivation, the details are you get your T-Plus trial extended through February 2021, but of course it's more complicated than that because you can also pay for Apple TV Plus on a monthly basis or on a yearly basis. If you're on the annual plan paying for it and you were going to end in like at November, they'll just add an extra 3 months onto your plan so you won't have to start paying again until February. If you're on the monthly plans, so if you're paying monthly for that November, December, January period, they will credit the $4.99 a month back to your account as store credit. So essentially you're getting a refund on it, but then you know it's not money, it's a store credit, so you can spend it on anything you want, whether it's just a rental or the app store or just pay for an Apple service.
Yeah,
so they're trying to make it so that it's fair to people that weren't on the trial, and this will happen automatically. You don't have to do anything to redeem it. They'll just get applied to your account in the coming days.
There is a hitch for the people who turned off their trial, expecting it to end this month.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you didn't have quite the loyalty to stick it out to October 31st and cancel then, because obviously with the Apple TV Plus trial, it's different to most other App Store subscriptions, because if you cancel the trial early, it ends immediately. You can't cancel early and let the trial run out.
I think all of Apple's are like that.
And use the remaining duration. Yeah, so I think all of Apple's services subscriptions.
News at least is like that.
Yeah, maybe Arcade isn't, but it depends a little bit, but... For TV Plus, obviously, it mattered the most because the three-year duration was a year, whereas a lot of these free trials are just like 30 days and stuff. So people didn't notice as much. But with the TV Plus one, you couldn't cancel, you know, in December and carry on using it right through to now. You had to remember or set a date to cancel it. So a lot of people had set a reminder to cancel it during this month, right? Because, their subscription's going to end on November 1st. They don't want to pay for it. That's fine, whatever. I've set a reminder, so I'll cancel in the middle of October. Well, if you're one of those unlucky people who cancelled it like the day before this news came out that they're going to extend it, well, you're out of luck. Your lack of loyalty will not be rewarded. You're just done for. If you are currently subscribed, you just have to put faith in the reporting and your trial will get extended and you'll get an email about it in the next coming days. Hopefully, that'll actually all work seamlessly and there won't be problems, because unfortunately the T+ trials have had very weird glitches along the way. Some people who are meant to get them don't get them. Data isn't shut for them. Some people who aren't meant to get them, it shows up for them instead. It's very odd. At the moment, I looked on the settings screen. So I go on your iPhone, you go like settings, subscriptions. My Apple TV Plus thing would be normally set to redeem on November 1st. But on the main page, it says that I'm paying monthly, even though I'm not. And then I click through the detail page and it says free for annual. And it's selected the monthly plan. So it's all a bit messed up. So I think they're having some issues actually getting this rolled out, because, of course, it's an Apple web service. There's always bugs. But hopefully that'll get straightened out. As to why they're doing this, I think it's pretty obvious that their original plan was to get like second seasons of their flagship shows, like The Morning Show, like C or For Mankind. They wanted them to start, you know, right about now, so that you'd get a little taste of it. You'd enjoy it through the 3 year, and then the second season, you'd get a little taste about now, and then you'd have to start paying to actually finish the season off, right? And because of the pandemic, all of the production got delayed and halted, and so their schedules do not support that anymore. There are no second seasons of flagship shows airing this year, basically. They did announce that Dickinson Season 2 is starting on January the 8th, so that would be like the first round of it. But what I think you'll see with this extension of 3 months is with that extra 3 months tacked on the end of the year trials, they're going to be able to get out or at least start, so you'll probably get like the first couple of episodes of, for instance, the next season of For Mankind, Dickinson, they have officially announced, and probably Servant as well. They're going to be able to get them out inside of that extra 3 month period, and hopefully retain more subscribers, because people will want to finish the seasons and, you know, carry on, as well as also just giving people a bit more time to enjoy the content. And, you know, they are rolling out more, you know, more stuff every month, and any extra additional time you can give people will definitely increase their subscriber retention.
Yeah,
like even before this COVID pandemic stuff happening, we were talking about this last year. I said, you know, if they come to this point now and they don't have the, you know, the engagement or the subscriber numbers that they want, they can just press the reset button and run the trial again, right? So they have freedom to do it, and this is kind of a mini version of that. Their biggest show, like The Morning Show, that is only starting production again like next week, so there's no way that's going to make it within even the extended trial period. Like, it's just not going to happen. That won't be out to like April or March.
Cool. Do you want to tell me about our first sponsor?
Yes. Thanks to our friends at Smile Software for sponsoring Happy Hour. Take your time back with the power of Text Expander. Repetitive typing, little mistakes, searching for answers, they're all taking precious time away from you and your team. With Text Expander, you can take it back. Turn the things you type into reusable snippets that can be used again and again. The latest version of Text Expander has new and improved statistics reporting for organizations, including the ability to build reports with customizable date ranges, for enterprise and individuals, so you can track how much time your team saves. Text Expander, you can keep your team consistent, accurate, and current with all the changes and latest messaging for your business and brand. Share your texts and images with your entire staff to keep them on track. It means that everyone in your company will be sharing the same message and giving the same answers to customers' questions. Use Text Expander's powerful shortcuts and abbreviations to streamline and speed up everything you type. Create a powerful snippet once. Then you can use the assigned abbreviation to let Text Expander do the rest of the job for you. No more repetitive typing, no chance for human error. Text Expander goes beyond simple find and replace with features like editable fields and pop-up lists. Text Expander works everywhere that you type. Slack, Google Docs, Trello, email, web browsers, the lot. And you can get Text Expander on Mac, Windows, Chrome, iPhone, and iPad. Unlock your productivity with Text Expander. Listeners to this show can get 20% off their first year subscription. Visit textexpander.com/podcast to learn more and sign up. That's textexpander.com/podcast.
All right. And next up is, before we get to the event talk, is our pre-event talk is Apple TV 4K, the box that was introduced, what is it, like 3 years ago now?
Yeah, 2017. Yeah. The Apple TV 4K. They still sell the Apple TV non-4K, which was a 2015 product, incredibly. Yeah.
So now on the Apple TV 4K, the big feature of that, you had a better chip and everything, so better performance, but that was mostly to be able to drive 4K resolution. So now on the Apple TV that supports 4K resolution on 4K TVs, you can now watch YouTube in 4K resolution with some limitations. So, you know, the backstory here is that there was this big format disagreement between Apple and Google on you know, what to support on the Apple TV and how to serve YouTube videos in 4K. And Apple kind of caved, it seems like, but it's still not perfect yet, right?
Yeah, so this is the classic, like, the Apple TV didn't support VP9 because Apple didn't want to, but then it's kind of dragged on for so long that Apple seems to have finally given in and added the decoders to iOS 14 and obviously TVS as well. And then it took YouTube a few more weeks to actually like get it working for whatever reason. It's available now on Apple TV 4K, but it only lets you watch videos at 30 frames a second and there's no HDR.
Yeah, I it's too bad, but the resolution change is good. You were already, well, so could you watch at 60 frames per second before in HDR in 1080p?
I think you could watch 60 frames per second 1080p. I don't think HDR was available.
Okay, so HDR is no change there. You have to...
I might be wrong, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, who knows? But at least the resolution...
I think you're right. Like,
it's the biggest
people
deal.
Are going to notice the resolution more than any of the other stuff. Like,
yes.
The other stuff's nice, but getting... And now Apple can, like, on the spec sheet, when you're doing a comparison across the board, it will say YouTube in 4K. Like, people will forget the details after the...
Yeah, and it's been... Like, I don't know what the built-in stuff on the TV supports and what, you know, the sticks support beyond 4K, yes or no. And it has always been annoying that you get a really cool user interface and experience on the Apple TV. And then if you want to use 4K, you need to like use an inferior stick or the built-in YouTube app. And at that point, you're like, you're starting to get used to using built-in apps. So this is
because Apple TV 4K finally was by far the first like streaming device to market that supported like all of the specs in terms of like 4K, HDR10, Dolby Vision. And the big standout exception was the YouTube app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward to 2020, fast forward to now, everybody else has options and streaming versions like the 4K, the Roku Ultra, or the streaming stick 4K, that they all support the same, basically the same feature set now as what the Apple TV 4K does, you know, 3 years on. But they supported YouTube out the gate because they were, most of them run Android anyway, which includes the same codecs inside. So it was a bit of a black mark on the system that they've resolved. And it is annoying that it's not like, you know, you're not getting HDR stuff. But
this is also the same. This is the same time that this is true on the iPhone, iPad, and Mac too, right? That 4K YouTube is finally available in Safari without having to on iOS not have the option, and on the Mac have to use Chrome.
Correct. Yeah. So it affects, you know, it benefits all of Apple's platforms, and like it or not, YouTube is incredibly popular, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Apple TV, the YouTube app has to be, you know, top three in terms of usage, right? Like people just watch so much YouTube, so that now you can get 4K on it, which is cool.
YouTube,
similarly,
good.
There was an outlier on the iTunes store where when the Apple TV 4K came out, you could get your existing movies upgraded to 4K versions for free when they were available.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
There was some complications there with Disney where the Disney movies, some of them were available for 4K for a little while, but then they were taken away.
Yeah.
There was speculation that Disney was reserving those for, its own streaming service.
What became Disney Plus, which did happen,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this week, you can now get Disney movies in the iTunes store for 4K, which includes free upgrades if you already purchased the normal HD ones. So
cool.
All the Marvel and the Star Wars and all of that stuff is basically universally now available in 4K on the iTunes store as well. There seems to have been some... a new agreement with Disney this week because they also launched a like special section in Apple Music, which is just like a new category full of Disney franchise music, right?
So, and Disney applied to be one of the preferred partners.
Yeah.
It's a new program.
They're on the preferred platform arrangement.
Maybe Disney has a program and Apple applied for it.
possibly it's possibly true. But anyway, for the end customer, everyone's happy. Yes. So you get a little bonus there. There was also this week a rumor about the forthcoming Apple TV update, which doesn't seem like it's going to happen at the October event or any event this year. It seems to be pushed off into next year. a Twitter leak has said that Apple Arcade is getting big money poured into it, and there's currently titles in the works that are aiming to rival like Breath of the Wild in terms of, you know, visual detail and scope, and there are seeding game makers and developers with A14X like Apple TV hardware. So obviously it's like prototype dev kit stuff that is trying to simulate performance that will end up matching what the A14X can deliver, and a game controller is in the works. They're saying that some of these Apple Arcade games will require at minimum an A13 chip to even run, to try and give you an idea of, you know, the kind of ambition they're going for. We've talked about this before on the show. 95 Mac even reported on the fact that an A14 based Apple TV was in the works, you know, earlier this year with 6 gigabytes of RAM. Hopefully what they're heading towards is a kind of like they have two tiers of Apple TV now, but one of them is just like the really, really bad model and one of them's the okay model, but you know, it's 150, 179. I'm hoping that they're trying to get to a point where they can have like the, you know, like an A12 based Apple TV for like $99, and then they'd have like this more like souped up version with the A14X in it that's maybe like, you know, $179, $199, which can have Apple Arcade Advanced or whatever you want to call it, and then maybe like the Apple Design Game Controller that we keep hearing rumors about as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the current Apple TV hardware lineup is just kind of pathetic.
I'm so glad you had some Apple TV news this week to collect.
Somehow it just we're making a pattern out of this. We didn't even mean to most of the time, but it just all came up together.
Yeah. Also, this week
So that's just the situation with the hardware that isn't coming anytime soon.
Yeah, and also this week I turned 30, so that was exciting.
Happy birthday!
So just like the Apple TV 4K, I turned 30.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Apple event. So it was announced. This was cool because it was rumored. I mean, I think a few weeks ago you were telling me about just kind of what's happening in the rumor world of like things that are not yet reported but just kind of floating around out there, and it was that there could be not just the October event but a November event, and then today that's even more true, I believe. But last week this got announced, the Apple October 13th event, which we'll all call the iPhone 12 event. The tagline is high speed, and you know, I got one of those virtual invitations to virtually view the event with everyone else. So that's neat. What do you think about this?
Do you want to describe what the invite looks like? Because I think it's one of their better ones.
Yeah, it really is good. It's I had a lot of fun like playing in Pixelmator Pro with it and like doing different stuff with it. But overall there's like a theme of like kind of like orange and red to it, and it just looks very like Halloween to me, and it's like October events. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat. The apple in like a sphere reminds me of like a jack-o'-lantern, but that's not like really what the event invite is. It's like then there's like circles around it, and there was some talk of like, oh, it looks kind of like the leaked AirTag tracker. And then I think today that got pushed back in terms of what's rumored. It's just like a bunch of waveforms basically come off of that like sphere, and it's pretty. And there's been some cool wallpapers made out of it.
Yeah, like back in the day, like pre-iOS 7, Apple would do like invites that were very photographic, or they would have like a picture of a guitar on it, for instance, with the Apple logo being the hole in the guitar. And then since that time, they've gone just to more abstract shapes and images and stuff, right? And some of them are all right, some of them are pretty bland. This one is a cool just combination. It's almost like a sunset or something with like the oranges going into the thing, and then the sun is kind of like the Apple logo.
Yeah,
but it's not overstated. I think it's, you know, it's really nice. So,
and there is like stuff. Different color versions of it too that they use for Twitter and different places.
Yeah, exactly. And they have a AR, you know, little ditty as well, like they did with the September event.
Yes,
even the AR model is a lot cooler to look at this time around than the September one.
Yeah. So is it because they're using AR again? That means that this is the Apple Glasses event, right? this time it does have something to do with, you know, last time it was the tea leaves were like time of flight or time flies was the tagline, and it was like time of flight. And no, this time we really will see time of flight on the new iPhone Pro. So
yeah, maybe they're like, the hints on the invites are just like one event delayed.
They're just like staggered,
Yeah, the invite before tells you what's coming in the next month's event. Because at this rate, we're having an event every single month until COVID's finished with.
Hopefully. Yeah, geez. Yeah, but it's not just that there's an event on Tuesday, and so next week we'll probably have a very long episode to talk all about what happened there. But there's more news about what to expect besides the iPhone 12. I mean, we have a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode about what to expect, but HomePod Mini is one, and that really excites me because if ever there's been a need for a different version of the HomePod, it's a smaller, cheaper one that you know, isn't the $300 one that you put in your bedroom or living room, but you put in all the other rooms, or you make them into a stereo pair for less than $600. And that seems to be being shown next week and then coming later.
Yeah. So early morning on Friday, which is when the day we're recording today, there was a big leak on Chinese social media from an account called Kang, who has a very good track record, and the report was reshared by Love to Dream, basically corroborating this as being accurate, right? So it's not quite Ming Chi Kuo standards, right? But it's close, okay? So and it was detailed, like there's a lot to get through.
Kang's has like this, I wasn't familiar.
Yeah, it's the reason you don't know who it is because it's one of those it's an account on Weibo.
Oh, I see. Normally, okay,
You normally read it as like Chinese characters, right? But mm-hmm. We have covered their story.
Gotcha now, yeah.
Yeah, it's just normally we'll say like this Chinese Weibo account that has been accurate in the past. But,
gotcha, yeah.
But their name is Kang, but normally I don't know how to pronounce Chinese. So
gotcha. There you go. Cool.
Yeah. So with, you know, reasonable confidence, basically a big rundown of what they believe is going to be shown at this high-speed event. One of the things listed is the HomePod Mini, which will apparently cost $99.
That's aggressively low. I mean, it's not as cheap, but it's still cheaper than Apple could do it.
Yeah, because I think if you would ask me, because we were expecting the HomePod Mini to come out, right? It's been rumored for ages. I was thinking probably like $149 level. Not that I think that's the level they should price it at to be like competitive with the market, but
I mean, AirPods Pro costs like what, $250?
Yeah, AirPods Pro are $250. Yeah. Normal AirPods are $150. So this would be pretty aggressive. Like, this is cheaper than the second generation Apple Pencil. Right?
Cool.
Apple Pencil.
And you just can't compare across lines because it's so different.
Yeah, Apple loves to, you know, Apple jacks the prices up very arbitrarily.
This is cheaper than the MacBook Pro leather sleeve.
Yeah.
I think it's like $300 for the 6-inch.
Oh, it's cheaper than a smart keyboard. You could just say loads of things that it's cheaper. But I think it's great. Like, I was kind of, if you'd asked me to predict like last week.
It must be really bad.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate. Like, it's kind of funny at the moment, just on a meta point, like, because Apple's announcing these events with just 1 week turnarounds. Normally, when we do a podcast, they'd like announce the event and we'd like, you know, talk a little bit about what to expect. And then the week after, we do all the late breaking leaks. But because of the compressed timelines at the moment, it's just kind of all bundled into one. So it's a bit messy. But if you'd asked me to predict what was going to happen, I was probably thinking they'd do like a $149 HomePod Mini and then drop the price of the big HomePod, which isn't going to change. It's just going to stick around for the time being, at least, to like $250. So then you have like $150, $250. But $99 is even better. Like,
yeah.
Obviously,
what if it's like Echo Dot quality?
Yeah, I mean, if it's like an equivalent to the Echo Dot, then it's not.
Because Echo Dot's like $30 standard.
Yeah, but yeah. They're like not going to use the HomePod. They're not going to like besmirch the HomePod brand with something that sounds.
Yeah, it's a very successful brand name.
I'm assuming this is more. This is going to sound. I mean, when the HomePod came out, it was more expensive than competition, but it did sort of sound better. So hopefully, this model will also be, you know, more expensive than the equivalent like Echo Plus or whatever they call it, which I think is about $80. But it should also sound better. Like, and we're expecting it to be, you know, quite a lot smaller. Like 3.3 inches is what, like half the size of what the current one is. Like, so mm-hmm. it's quite small. And also it was said that the chip inside this HomePod Mini will be the S5 chip. So that's the chip that's in the Apple Watch SE and the Apple Watch Series 5.
Cute.
The original HomePod uses the A8 chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's 6.8 inches, we've written it down. So it's going to be 3.3 versus 6.8, which is under half as tall, basically. So that's how mini it's going to be. Why is it using a watch processor? I don't think it really matters. Like,
yeah. It's not an original chip. So it's, and
yeah, like,
the S5 is so slow.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with the A8 in the original HomePod, right?
Not at all.
The problems with the HomePod are not dictated on the speed of its processor, right? We're still waiting. They could do so much more with software performance, with software functionality, right? That doesn't require faster chips. But the S5 are perfectly fine. They can overclock it or whatever because it's permanently plugged into the wall and, you know, it's basically like cooled because it's massive. So they'll be perfectly fine in terms of performance. Kang says that it will be announced at the next week event, but it won't be available for pre-order until Friday, November 6th.
Which is also the what we're on now, is we have an event in the month before the things come out, iPad Air, for example, and there's even another event before that thing comes out.
Yeah, because we're still waiting for the iPad Air to ship, right, or even be up for pre-order. That still says coming in October as of today. There was a report today that they're getting supply at Apple Store, so it's probably going to happen like Monday or something. But at least right now, we're about to be on the second event, and Apple hasn't released the products from the last event. This is just 2020 for you. So yeah, HomePod Mini will go on pre-order on November 6th with availability on November 16th. So, you know, decently close around the corner.
According to Kang, yeah.
According to Kang, at least. John Prosser said the same day as well, mm-hmm. So take that.
Yeah, who I think October 13th was pretty early on from John Prosser. So way to
correct.
Go.
He did say the October event would be on the 13th, like 2 months ago. So kudos to him for that one. Mm-hmm. Like, Love to Dream says no bigger HomePod is on the horizon. So if you're expecting an update to the big one, then sorry, you're not getting it.
I still don't think Beast is going away, speaking of Prosser, anytime soon.
You think Beats is sticking around? Yeah, I don't. Yeah. We spoke about that, right? Yeah. Like, there's no urge for them to get rid of it.
I mean, even though they changed the name of the Apple Music to the Beats One to Apple Music One, that was just a services move, you know?
Yeah, like, Beats is just going to be the second tier of Apple's audio lineup, right? Mm, like, it doesn't need to go away. They don't need to ditch it. It'll just be like, the AirPods brand will get all the new features first, and then the Beats line will get it eventually. It's like the lower tier models. They're like the SE versions of the AirPods.
Solo Pro got transparency before AirPods, even though they were released on the same day. It was announced first.
Yeah, that is true. All right, we'll talk more about AirPods after this ad break.
Cool.
We are sponsored this week also by Concepts App. Concepts App is available on iPhone and iPad, and it allows you to sketch ideas, create mind maps, design layouts, and communicate visually on an infinite canvas. Using Concepts, you can draw with fluid, pressure-sensitive brushes, and it uses Designer Copic color palette to make sure every sketch looks professional. Concepts Canvas renders vector ink. It means you can enjoy endless editability of your line work. Move your ideas around the canvas for brainstorming and to efficiently explore different ideas. And Concepts offers precision tools like grids, line, and shape guides, with real-world measurements to make design work as simple as possible. You can drag and drop assets like images, vector shapes, or even like PDFs directly into the canvas. And you can use the Concepts presentation mode with video conferencing apps like Zoom as a whiteboard, with everyone working remotely. When you're done creating, Concepts let you deliver your best ideas in a variety of formats, including PDF and SVG. It also seamlessly integrates with professional software like AutoCAD or Adobe Creative Cloud. Concepts apps makes it easy to sketch and design your ideas on an infinite canvas with flexible vector ink with your iPhone and iPad. Learn more and get started for free at concepts.app or use the link in the show notes.
All right. AirPod Studio. That's, you know, speaking of AirPods, is this the event for that?
It is not. This one was not covered in the Kang report. This is a purely a John Prosser.
Yeah, but the event has the sound waves. No,
it does have the sound waves.
Yeah, I mean, high speed is, you know, my first thing when I saw high speed in the event art was the RM Max are going to be at this event and they're really fast. You know, it's cool. And then I think maybe it's 5G related instead. But
yeah, like it's probably going to be 5G.
Yeah.
Yeah. So AirPod Studio, Prosser tweeted that they're going to retail. Are you ready for this, Zach? Hold your horses.
I am.
They're going to retail for $599.
I'll take two.
They said there's going to be, as was reported before, Prosser says there'll be like two variants, a kind of like luxury model made of leather and metal, and then there's going to be a sportier model with more, you know, breathable materials. So supposedly, according to Prosser, the metal leather version is going to be $599. And then the Sportlight model will be $350. And the $350 price point is more what you'd expect for kind of like high-end wireless headphones, right? Because that's kind of the price range of like the Bose QC35 and that kind of domain. Or like the Beats versions, right? Like the Beats Solo Pro, like that kind of variant. I think it's going to be a hard sell at $599. As cool as they're going to be.
I'm on the fence at $350.
Yeah. Yeah, I think $350 is like pushing it.
We need AirPods Studio Mini.
Yeah. Prosser says they will not be shown at the October 13th event.
Okay.
Mark Gurman, in his Bloomberg report, said they could be announced as soon as this month. So there's a bit of disagreement there. They're coming soon. They're coming before the end of the year. Gurman said that the ear cups are designed to be symmetrical so they can work with left or right ears. It doesn't matter which way you pick them up. You can just put them on and they'll fit with comfort. And they're going to have big touch sensors on the ear cups on the outside. So that's how you control the volume or you move tracks around. I think they're going to be really cool. And obviously they're going to take advantage of like spatial audio and automatic switching. And all
I still haven't tried spatial audio and I have it now.
Have you used spatial audio?
I haven't done it yet. If it was on the Mac, I would do it all the time because that's where I watch TV Plus stuff the most.
Yeah.
On my Mac screen.
Yeah, so you successfully babied your AirPods Pro into updating.
Yeah. Last time we spoke.
You need to watch something on an iPad or something to feel it.
Yeah,
I mean, presumably they're going to bring... Like, if they're going to bring out these headphones, surely they got to do spatial audio as well, right? Like to the desktop or the laptops, because a lot of people wear over-ear headphones at their desk. So
yeah, and planes. You know, you're like watching the movie on the plane, and
yeah, you watch it on your laptop pretty regularly. Like, so maybe it's hardware specific, and they'll wait for like our Macs that have like a gyroscope and stuff inside them, so they can get accurate positioning. But they should definitely bring it to the desktops as well. Yeah. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah. Huh.
And related to this, Apple has stopped selling all third-party speakers and headphones in Apple stores.
Yeah, so, remember when they stopped selling Bose because Bose sued Beats after Apple bought Beats, and it was over noise cancellation technology. Eventually, I think like Apple paid Bose some money for it, or did a licensing deal or something, and then they like brought Bose back in, and then it was a big deal whenever Sonos finally came to the Apple Store, because that was a big missing, you know, it was a big opportunity for Sonos at least, and then Sonos is like, you know, was one of the first and best non HomePod AirPlay 2 speakers, and now that those are all gone,
yeah. So then getting rid of all of that stuff probably means that they're gonna, you know, stock the shelves with their own stuff exclusively.
It's like HomePod Mini, AirPod Studio.
Mm-hmm.
They've and
the rest of the AirPods line.
They've got a lot.
Like, because the kind of like third party accessories take up a lot of space in like real estate wise in terms of Apple stores. Like they have big shelves and those big avenues that are just full of like third party stuff.
So yeah, and that's the most like throwback to the original Apple stores where it was like a bunch of third party stuff. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they're going to clear all that out and just have a big table of AirPod Studios to wear and try and sell them to people for $600. Like, I really hope they're not $600. Like, I've been looking forward to these things, and I kind of want the metal ones. And
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and like, because the headphones I wear at the moment, they're like the metal, they're metal style as well.
Well, maybe you can sell the ones that you have now for $600.
Yeah, the ones that
because Apple's going to raise the market by doing these, and you'd be like, these are just like those.
Yeah, the ones I have now have it uses a micro USB port to charge. That's kind of how old they are, so they're not quite as stylish as they once were. They were pretty expensive when I got them originally, but they're long in the tooth now. Like, I hope they're not. It's like $600 is so expensive. That's the same price as the iPad Air, and the iPad Air gives you a lot.
Here we go again, crossing categories.
I know, but it's too easy in this case. Yeah. Like, you can have an entire iPad. Or you can have some headphones.
You can have six HomePod Minis.
Like, at $350, $399, they were just about pushing it, right? Like, $600?
$350 is in, like, the Beats Studio, you know, ballpark, so.
Yeah, like, that feels right? Like another, and they're going to sell a sport model for $350, but then if you just want a nicer finish, it's like another $250.
I think you're okay with sport though. I mean, where do you wear these things?
Just in like the office, basically at home.
Yeah, so. you're okay with sport. They're not going to be like
my current
cheap.
Ones are metal. Like, why would I want to?
Yeah, but your current ones aren't these. They're not. They don't have the W1 and all this stuff.
That is true.
Yeah. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside.
Okay, I'll be mad if they're $599. So we'll put that on the shelf for now and hope that Pross is wrong on that one.
Okay. Well, he's probably not wrong.
Another thing that Pross tweeted that he's probably not wrong about, but sadly is going to be true, is that the AirTags, despite the invite having what seems to be an illustration of the AirTags dead center in the middle of it, which is the Apple logo in a circle, apparently the AirTags are not ready and will not be at this event. They will not be at a November event. They will not be at a December event. They're apparently delayed to the March 2021 timeframe. So, like, spring.
I'm so over these. Like, who cares? You know, I mean, it's cool when they happen. And the reason we talk about them so much is because, like, we found these first and we found the name first. And, like, that was the big deal. And it's like, we know how they'll work. Like, we've seen so much user interface of iOS, of, like, how they will work in the system. And they just need to release them. It's like, until then, what more can you say? Like, these things have leaked entirely, you know, even like what they will look like has been, you know, claimed to have leaked. So,
yeah, with like a little leather pouch and
yeah, you know, they just need to be released now. And then
the only thing
care.
We don't know about them is the price. That's really what we're waiting on.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to do a sport model for $49 and then a leather and metal model for $99.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I'm excited for AirTags, but it has been so long since we first reported on them that
it's too accessory.
And it seems
to
like
that.
They wanted to ship them with the iPhone 11 because that's why they put the U1 chip in the iPhone 11 last year, and they're now going to ship the iPhone 12 with a UWB chip, and the AirTags are still going to be another like 4 months away. Like, it's kind of crazy, but
yeah.
I saw some speculation, like our colleague Chance Miller said, that maybe Apple just doesn't want to release them while everyone's still stuck indoors, and they're kind of like, you know, by their nature, an outdoorsy style product.
I like Chance. Can we just say that required quarantine is not what it was 6 months ago? Mm-hmm. Even though the situation is no more under control and there's no solution, I guess Apple is not encouraging it, but in reality, it's not what it was 6 months ago.
Well, and also you can still like lose your wallet in your house, or you can put your keys down and walk around, or you're still going for walks or runs and stuff. Like, I think there may be some truth to it, but if you just look at what else Apple has done this year, they haven't been, you know, they haven't seen any hesitation to release what they were going to release anyway because of the situation. The only reason stuff's been delayed is because of production problems. Mm-hmm. Like, in June, when they announced all those Apple Maps features, they addressed it head on. They said, look, right now, we know people aren't really moving around that much, but when they do, we'll have all these great features for you. Like, I think if AirTags are ready to ship, they just ship them. Like, you could, like, in March, we were talking about you brought up the point of, you know, in this terrible pandemic situation, is it really suitable to, like, announce a $350 magic keyboard, right? But, you know, Apple didn't care. They did it anyway, right? Like, I think they would do the same thing for AirTags if they're finished, but for whatever reason, they're not finished. Maybe they were deprioritized and they were, you know, all guns blazing just to get the iPhones ready and shipped sometime soonish, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, so they've just been, like, pushed back.
But no, you know what they're waiting for? Apple One.
Oh, because you're going to put them on a subscription.
Yeah.
Please, no. That's almost worse than charging $600 for a pair of headphones. Here's a surprise. This is a real 2020 story. Apple to revive the MagSafe brand.
Yeah, like the actual story is kind of, you know, it's been guessed about of why is this, you know, kind of circle in the back of the iPhone 12, you know, schematics and everything. And is it a magnet? And could it make aligning wireless charging better because it snaps into place instead of having to like find out where, what makes the light turn on and the battery charge? MagSafe, it's clever. And that is that I guess is the surprise, but this is the less ambitious air power basically that we've been talking about.
Yeah, so we believe there's going to be a ring of magnets inside the back of the iPhone 12s that will precisely align to a charging mat,
which was on the invitation for the event. That's the circles.
Yeah, but you know, circle is a very universal shape. You can apply it to a lot of things.
Yes, you can.
and so we've seen leaks. We talked about on the show before of, like, you've seen the ring of magnets, and there was a case as well with a ring of magnets in it. According to the Kang leak today, Apple's going to basically... Because at the moment, they just say that the phones have, like, fast wireless charging. They're going to rebrand all that as MagSafe, and there's going to be two wireless chargers debuting alongside the iPhone 12. There's going to be the, quote, MagSafe charger and the, quote, MagSafe Duo charger. Now, there are no more details about these two accessories, but I think it's pretty clear that there's going to be a wireless charging pad that uses magnets, and then there's going to be another wireless charging pad that has two spots, so you can charge two devices at once, which is kind of like the mini AirPower revival, but not really. And they're going to use, like, the precision of the magnets to be able to give you faster charging speeds, I think. So Kang says the MagSafe chargers will be able to offer up to 15 watts of charging compared to, like, 10 watts, which is what the current iPhones can wirelessly charge.
What does Android do without this technique?
I'm pretty sure Android, like, offers 15 watt charging.
Me too.
Or at least they advertise 15 watt wireless charging. I know a lot. The problem with that, it's hard to, like, precisely measure this stuff, because even, like, the 10 watt wireless charging, it's like 10 watts for the first 2 hours, then the battery gets hot, so it goes down to 7.5 watts anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of gradations here, and, you know, some Android phones have, like, 40 watt charging that gets them, like, 30% in, like, 5 minutes or something crazy. Like, there's a lot of battery chemistry is very odd in the smartphone market at the moment. Like, I think it'd be cool. A common complaint I get about wireless chargers is, you know, you put them down and then your phone just slips off them and stuff. So if you have a ring of magnets, that's not going to happen anymore. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of funny they're bringing back the MagSafe name, and
it's clever.
It's clever, yeah. And assuming they do it here, it certainly puts fuel in the fire for. Are they going to bring MagSafe back to the Mac?
No. This has nothing to do with that. It's just that it snaps into place, so it's safe to charge your phone, and it probably won't slide off if it tilts. Don't read that much into it. That's my guess.
I couldn't care less about MagSafe on laptops. Like, I know it's cool, and it was cool at the time, but I can't remember a time that I've been saved or I've had a problem since 2016 with my MacBook Pro that doesn't have MagSafe. It's never fallen off the table because I've yanked a cord, right? I get so much more utility at there just being 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports there than having a separate power cable that was only on, like, one side of the laptop. But don't worry, you know, if your dog hits into it or something, then the cable pops out. Like, and it was also annoying. Like, people remember the best parts of MagSafe, but MagSafe would go wrong sometimes. Like, if you're on a bed and you're moving around, the MagSafe would just, like, fall out, and it wasn't as secure as it, you know, as like the USB-C ports are. So definitely trade-offs back and forth. We'll see if it does come back to the Macs. Like you say, probably not. It's just kind of cool that they now have this kind of charging solution for the iPhone that gives you convenience because you can just drop and charge and it'll make a line, and apparently give you slightly faster performance by doing 15-watt charging versus 10-watt charging.
I'm no longer the optimist I was in my 20s.
The question is, the MagSafe Duo charger, does it only charge iPhones?
That would not be cool. It makes it more like the Apple Watch charger, where it's like, it is magnetic, you know? And
yeah, like, ideally you want the Duo charger to be able to charge your watch as well. But as we know, the watch doesn't support normal Qi charging. Part of the reason that the AirPower mat never came out, because it was too complicated for them to support the iPhone charger and the AirPods charger in the same thing, also the Apple Watch charger in the same unit. So we'll see. I think the Duo charger makes sense if it can charge the watch as well, but maybe it's just there to, like, charge your AirPods or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you're a couple, you have, like, a Duo charger on the bedside table and it charges both your phones or something. Yeah. Like, the problem with these accessories is we just know they're going to be insanely expensive for no reason.
Well, and you need a new phone for them to work, so it's kind of a slow rollout, you know, for people.
I presume that if you just put an old phone that doesn't have the magnets, it just charges the slower speed, right? They're not going to make it like iPhone 12 exclusive.
Yeah,
but that would be stupid.
Yeah, you can imagine they're like playful ads with, like, the snapping in place, you know. Hopefully these are ready to be released whenever they announce them, because there's, like, no room for them to say they're coming soon, and like you know, everything this, so far has been, you know, coming next month or so, with the exception of the watch was available immediately, and the cheaper iPad. But if they're like available in November, we'll be like, yeah, right, you know, like, yeah, Air Power. Yeah. Again, you know,
the Air Power name is very tainted indeed.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do our last ad and then we'll run through the specs dump of the supposed iPhone 12 lineup.
Cool. Spoiled the event.
Oh. Also, related to charging, in fact, Happy Hour is sponsored by RAV Power and its new 65-watt, 4-port desktop USB-C charging station. The charging station features two USB-C ports with power delivery with 65 watts total output. That means if you have a MacBook Air and an iPad Pro, it can charge both at full speed, 45 watts going to the MacBook, 18 watts to the iPad. Using 65-watt USB-C power delivery, you can charge a 15-inch MacBook Pro from 0 to 100 in just 2 hours with just the MacBook connected to the charging station. You can connect more devices, and the 65-watt power budget is intelligently distributed, so you can charge a total of 4 devices at once. It uses advanced gallium nitride technology to enable a smaller design for a 65-watt charging station than was ever possible before without generating excess heat. And it's also in a beautiful, smaller design and chassis. Happy Hour listeners can currently get a special deal on the new RAV Power 4-port desktop charging station, which brings the price down from the usual $59 to just $39 using code 9to5MacRP. That's number 9, T-O, number 5, MacRP. Go to the link in the show notes for more information. Thanks to RAV Power for sponsoring the show.
All right, let's talk about iPhone 12 specs in a way that there's so many phones and so many things to detail. How can we make this make sense over audio without a chart to look at?
Yeah, so the Kang report was very detailed with a lot of specifications. We're assuming they're all correct. They could be wrong. But let's go, because they have put storage sizes and pricing. Let's run down the lineup in terms of, like, price order, okay? So we already know that it's going to be what? Like iPhone 12 mini, iPhone 12, iPhone 12 Pro, and iPhone 12 Pro Max. So, according to the Kang report, the 5.4-inch iPhone 12 mini will cost $699. So that's the same price as the iPhone 11, right? Because currently the iPhone 11 is sold for $699.
And it gets the OLED screen.
It gets OLED. Yeah. Obviously, the screen's slightly smaller because the iPhone 11 is LCD, but it's 6.1 inches. This is 5.4 inches. All of these phones are expected to feature 5G, but millimeter wave, so the faster, you know, radio spectrum, will only be available in the US. Millimeter wave is very complicated. It's even where it is available, it kind of isn't available because you have to be like in certain places, and if you go inside, you lose it. So, you know, there's whatever. The normal 6 gigahertz 5G will be on all four models, but millimeter wave will only be available in the US, at least at the beginning. So 5.4 inch iPhone 12 mini, $699. That's for 64 gigabytes. And according to Kang, you'll be able to pre-order on November 6th, and it's available on November 13th. Now, I know it's a mess of numbers, but try and keep the dates in your head because it goes all over the place. Yeah. So $699.
We will recap at the end. Yeah.
Available November 13th. Okay. 6.1 inch iPhone 12. So that's like the mid-range model, right? $799, 64 gigs. Pre-order October 16th, available October 23rd.
So if you pay more, you can get a bigger phone sooner.
And I guess that is the direct equivalent to the iPhone 11, right? Because it's going to be basically the same form factor.
What did the price do, though, from 10R to 11 to 12? What was the price jump?
Okay, so the iPhone 10R was sold for $750.
Okay.
And then when they did the iPhone 11 last year, it went down to $699.
And so this is up from both of those to $799.
This is up from both of those. But you are getting the OLED screen,
yeah,
which was previously only available in like the $999 phones and up.
And so, if you're waiting for the cheaper phone, you're probably not waiting. You don't mind waiting until November. You're probably not even thinking about it.
Correct.
Yeah. Unless you really want the smaller phone.
So yeah, depending on your perspective, the iPhone's either getting cheaper or more expensive.
That's right.
Depending on how much you value the extra, like, 0.6 inches of screen, you can save $100, but that's actually the same price as Logitech's entry phone.
And they've made the Pro phone, the one that's the same size as, like, the iPhone X was, more expensive than the, say, 11 was, or the XR. So they do have a disconnection between size and price, at least, so that you can have a smaller... smaller can be more premium. In this case, you know, smaller is you know, if the new standard is more expensive and smaller is cheaper, so it works.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out in terms of, like, which one is more popular, the 5.4 inch one because it is the cheapest, or the 6.1 inch one because it's, like, the size that has been, you know, most commonly sold for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Kind of model that's the obvious transition for people.
The 6.1 inch will be more popular for at least the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's when you can buy it.
Because, yeah, like, if you have an iPhone XR, your obvious upgrade path is going to be to the iPhone 12. And then it's only $50 more expensive than what you paid.
Although, you know, like, you know, to go to 12 mini, you might have been buying that. You didn't have, like, a choice in the not $1,000 phone price before. You had a 6.1 inch phone. And in this case, now you've got a choice. Do you like that screen size a lot, or do you want to go smaller in this case? So.
Yeah, that's true. There would have been a section of the people that were buying the 6.1 inch phone saying, I wish I wanted something smaller, so they'd be happy.
And then it's not, like, super small. I mean, it's smaller than the iPhone X was, but it's not super, super small.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent size. Okay, so we've covered 5.4 and 6.1. Now, the other 6.1 inch is the iPhone 12 Pro. That's going to be $999, again, according to Kang, which is obviously the same starting price as the current phones are.
And we're getting rid of a 5.8 inch phone, right? Like, right now the iPhone 11 Pro is 5.8 inches, and now the 12 Pro gets a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger. Yeah. The rumors are that the combination of the flat sides and slightly thinner bezels, I'm talking like 1 millimeter thinner bezels, will offset some of that size exactly. So it's not going to, so it hopefully feel roughly similar in the hand. It's not going to feel like it's going to be bigger. That's the idea anyway, going into the event. So the screen is going to be slightly bigger, but the overall, like, feel of the phone in your hand should be approximately the same, because, like, curved sides always make it a device feel bigger than if they're straight flat, right? It's just like an ergonomics thing. And the screen bezel is going to be shrunk slightly. So that, you know, when you say 6.1 inch, you're counting the screen size diagonally, you're not counting the overall chassis of the phone. Yeah. So we'll have to see when it's announced for real.
Pretty subtle.
But for $999, you're going to get 128 gigabytes of storage. So that is actually an increase, because right now all the Pros start at 64.
Yeah, they
Kang,
do.
The 12 Pros are going to start at 128 instead. So that's $999 for 128 gigs. And that is pre-order October 16th, available October 23rd. So that's the same times as the 6.1 inch iPhone 12. So those two models will be launching together on October 23rd, basically.
So the replacement for the 11 and the 11 Pro basically are normal dates in terms of, at least they're after the event. The smaller one is a little bit later, and then now we have the replacement for the 11 Pro Max.
Correct, which is even later still. So the 6.7 inch iPhone 12 Pro Max, remember the current Pro Max is 6.5 inches. Starting price $1099, that's the same currently. Mm-hmm. 128 gigs base storage, that's doubled. And it will max out at 512. You can pre-order that on November 13th, and it will be available November 20th.
So a week later than the Mini, which is about 3 weeks later than the regular 12 and 12 Pro. Roughly.
So you're going almost into December for the iPhone 12 Pro Max.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Were you planning on buying one of these phones?
My priorities keep changing, but right now, no.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you were gonna buy, don't ask me that, because people make fun of me, but no.
I remember when you weren't buying the 11 series, and you had every single model.
Yeah, no, this year I'm trying to wrap my head around spending the price of my MacBook on a Canon EOS R6 camera. It costs more than my MacBook Pro. And so it's in my mind, I'm like, I make all my money from my MacBook Pro for this camera. It'll take time to do that. So, yeah. So this year, the phones, it's easier than ever to deprioritize.
Because I assume, because I'm not upgrading this year. Yeah. But
I will
I
ask Apple
you
for
would
like
be going,
a unit or something. So.
you'd be going to Pro Max if you were, right? You want the big one.
This is a year where the Pro Max is the best phone, spec-wise, not just screen-size-wise. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But it isn't available till later.
So I have until November to change my mind.
You have until November 20th to change your mind.
Okay. Well, I was going to commit to getting it. Yeah. I'm in for it.
All right. Just running down some supposed specs. All four phones will have support for Dolby Vision video recording, so you can get like HDR video recording.
Cool.
There's going to be a smart data feature, which I think is meant to save like power. So basically, it only uses 5G when it feels like it needs to. It'll allocate 4G and 5G according to application bandwidth. So even though you have 5G phone and you have 5G service, if you have the smart data mode enabled, it's not going to use 5G all the time, which is presumably a strategy to save on battery life. So this kind of just validates my point, which is half the time you don't need 5G anyway. So
I'm glad you feel good about that.
This is the high-speed event, but on the quiet, we're going to turn off the high-speed part quite regularly. Just keep that in mind.
These are good leaks, though, because these are the kind of things that typically you don't see until the keynote. They're like on the slides.
Yeah. And I mean, this could all be wrong and this whole thing's pointless, but we'll see. For the front glass, there's going to be a stronger glass cover, some kind of, quote, ceramic shield front cover. I think that addresses some of the concerns that people had with the formulation of the front glass in recent years, where they changed it from, it used to be like designed not to shatter. Oh, sorry, it used to design not to scratch, but it was easier to shatter. And in the last, with the starting of the XS, they changed the glass makeup. So now it's slightly easier to get like fine scratches, but it's much harder to get like a clean break in the screen, right? A big crack. You can't really get that anymore. But you can get lots of little like fine scratches if you just look at the surface of the phone. So this year, they're going to put some kind of new formulation that will apparently make the scratching less obvious or less apparent.
Yeah, because right now it scratches like butter. It's no good.
Correct.
No good. Trust me, I've been through a lot of these phones. No.
Colors. Leading up to the event, we were expecting blue. Kang says for the pro phones, the options will be gold, silver, graphite, which may be space gray, depending on.
We'll say graphite because of the watch did that.
Correct, the watch. Yeah, that is true, actually. The watch is graphite. So, yeah, it probably is graphite. Gold, silver, graphite, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like a dark blue, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the non-pro phones, you can get black, white, red, blue, and green.
So blue is back, but maybe a different kind of blue. Green's new since the 5C. Coral went away last year. Yellow, purple, those are gone.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, so they've trimmed the color lineup slightly.
Yeah.
But
what trivia to have in your brain, phone.
Yeah, if I was getting one of these, I'd get graphite.
Yeah. You always get a black phone though, so close.
The blue one probably will look cool though, so we'll see. And then finally on specs, on the big head of specs, the cameras. So like you were saying, the Max phone this year is actually gonna be the best. Because there's going to be on the 12 Pro, you'll be able to get 4x optical zoom. Obviously, it's up from 2x optical zoom.
That's a double,
That's on the 12 Pro. On the 12 Pro Max, you'll get a 5x optical zoom.
I don't know the word for that. Yeah, I don't know the double equivalent for 5x.
2.5, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Double and a half.
I can do math. But the other thing, as well as having more zoom range, the Pro Max will also have a 47% larger camera sensors compared to the non-Max Pro.
This is a pretty big deal if you like, you know, your phone's your main camera and you like to get the best camera of a year.
Yeah, because that helps in, you know, outside. Just anytime a camera can bring in more light, it's going to result in better pictures, whether that's indoors or outdoors, right? So 47% larger, that's not just like a little bit. That's quite a lot.
That's right.
It'll be interesting to see how they frame it, because last year, the 11 Pro and 11 Pro Max were identical apart from the screen size. And this year, the cameras are going to be, you know, notably different. And obviously, the screen of the Pro Max is getting slightly bigger. So you're kind of doubling up on your money there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Although, and it's still the same price gap of $100, you know.
Correct.
So that's pretty cool. That's pretty, they didn't try to make it like, you know, $150 difference or $200 difference.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to like feature stuff the Pro phones a bit to kind of offset the fact that the 6.1 inch model is getting $100 more expensive. Do you know what I mean?
And OLED, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, all four phones are getting OLED and stuff, so that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. But I think this lineup's interesting.
It's a very good lineup.
Not for a year-over-year upgrader, right? Like, I don't think it's a good year for that. It's just not. Like, if you don't care about 5G, I don't think there's much here, really. And it doesn't seem like promotion's going
to
happen.
Design. I mean, I always go to that as, like, the way the phone looks makes it feel different. And this is the first new design since the 10.
That is true, but is it really that much of a departure?
No, like, no, it's a remix of past.
Yeah, it's like...
And it's like the mini iPad Pro from 2018, so we're kind of getting that.
Right, yeah. I think it's nowhere near as drastic as like the iPhone 10 transition or some of the older versions, right? Like, it's going to look like the current phones, but the sides
are like
flat.
Going from the 4 to the 5.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Glad we agree on that. we're done here
really
today.
That is a really good comparison, yeah. Right? So... iPhone 4 to iPhone 5. Actually, iPhone 4 to iPhone 5 was just in the year they added 4G. So,
hey.
So yeah. You get the slight design change with flat sides, yeah. And you get the cellular upgrade, just like the iPhone 5 transition. Yeah. That's quite funny. That's quite a funny parallel.
Cool. Nice. And then...
We will obviously look forward to that being official next week, or completely wrong, in which case this was all a big joke.
And we'll just delete the episode. And then we're gonna rule out the release of Apple Silicon Macs, or even like... product demos or unveilings that's going to be not just the release but also like showing them what's going to be in November. Is that right?
That is what is going to happen, according to Mark Gurman. This was a Bloomberg story. He said that the first Mac laptop with Apple Silicon, quote, among other products, will be launched next month at a November event. So Apple Silicon Mac, maybe the AirPod Studio, if they don't actually come out next week, there'll be a November thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if you're not fed up of Apple events yet, there's going to be another one. So put it in your calendars now.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. I don't mind this cadence because it gives us something to focus on every single month. And it's not too unlike that year where there was, you know, just all throughout the fall and winter, things came out from, you know, but they're breaking up the announcements. And having this, you know, pre-produced by necessity, not live event, but you know, a video that you watch. This is pretty good for that. So, cool. I mean, maybe there's a limit of how long people can sit through a product unveiling of things that aren't live. And you know, so, cool. I like it.
That explains why they're keeping them to like an hour, though, right? Like,
certainly. And this can be another hour event.
Because basically, if you boil it down, we're going to see the iPhones. And then the HomePod Mini, and then maybe the over-ear headphones, right? Mm-hmm. So that seems like a pretty solid hour.
So half phone, half audio.
Half phone, half audio. Yeah. High speed.
Yeah. High speed. Cool.
I'm excited. I'm interested to watch it. I am annoyed that AirTags are yet again delayed, but
yeah,
there we go.
I'm doing okay with that. All right, that is the Happy Hour podcast for this week. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe if you don't already. You can give us a rating or recommendation in Apple Podcast or Overcast. If you have any feedback, you can email us together at happyhour@95mac.com. I'm on Twitter at Apollo Zach. Benjamin, you are on Twitter at
BZMAA.
And we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.